If you're visiting with us tonight, or if you haven't been around in a while, let me just catch you up. We're in the middle of a sermon series, and the title of the series is The Community Jesus Intends. The community that Jesus wanted to build with us is one in which the people gathered together take responsibility for each other in particular ways. Jesus wants us to welcome one another. Jesus wants us to serve one another. He wants us to build each other up. He wants us to take responsibility for each other in ways that are visible and can be seen. Tonight, we'll continue as we see how Jesus means us to carry one another. There's an amazing text that one of Jesus' followers, Paul, wrote. It's in the letter that he wrote to a church in Galatia. And it's in chapter 6, and it's verse 2. And this is one for you to jot down and memorize. It's pretty astounding what he says. He tells that community of people gathered together, like we're gathered together here, "Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Everybody knows what it's like to be carrying a weight in life. Some people carry their burdens on the outside, some hide it. But there's nobody who doesn't know what it's like to be weighed down by something heavy that they're carrying. Yes? Here, Paul says very simply, and I think very profoundly, to the people gathered there, he says, take your eyes off of your own troubles for a moment and look at the neighbor beside you. Take your hands off of your own troubles and put your hands on their burdens so that you may carry them. This simple instruction is manageable, but it's very difficult. And along with this simple direction from Paul, which is as much a direction to you and me here now as it was back then, comes this astounding promise. Do you see it there in the second half of the text? In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Do this. Set your own burdens down and pick up others. And you yourselves, you as a community and you as an individual, will be a person of whom it's true that you are fulfilling the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? And what does it look like to fulfill it in this way as a burden bearer? Those two questions are the questions that I'm going to answer tonight. And we're going to do that together by looking at one story with each other, a story that Jesus told. It's in the Gospel of Luke, and it's in chapter 10. If you have a Bible and you want to follow along, turn to chapter 10 and find your way to verse 30. This is a story that's commonly known as the story of the Good Samaritan. This is so well known, it was actually featured on a rather regrettable Seinfeld episode. Nobody? Man. All right. The Good Samaritan story. The story of the Good Samaritan, we're going to look at it in a moment. Matt, if you'd go back, please. Getting ahead of me. The story of the Good Samaritan is told in the midst of a conversation between Jesus and a group of people, and the subject they're discussing is the law. It was not uncommon in Jesus' day for religious men to have arguments with each other about what the whole law boiled down to. The Torah, which was rich and complex, the law of Moses that was in there, which was very varied. There was a constant search back then to find what it all boiled down to. There was one man who actually asked a rabbi, "Tell me what's in there while standing on one foot, and I'll be satisfied." Jesus had these kinds of conversations pretty frequently. You can see them in various gospels. Maybe you remember a time where someone came to him and said, "What's the most important commandment?" Does anyone remember what Jesus said first? It's group participation time. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and your soul and your strength. And then he said there's a second commandment that's like it. And the way Jesus taught, these two went together. And it was? Yeah. Look up there. Go ahead, turn around. There's a banner. Love your neighbor as yourself, Luke 10:27. That was made by someone in this congregation. It was the way that Jesus summed up the whole law. Now, as a pragmatic mind tends to do, the guy who asked him the question wanted to know what that looks like. There's actually some question about his real motives. He might have wanted to escape responsibility But he wanted to know, what does it look like to love your neighbor as yourself? What does it actually entail to love your neighbor? What does that make me responsible for? If I fulfill the law of Christ by bearing the burdens of another, well, who is my neighbor after all? And it was in response to that question that Jesus told this story. And what we'll see in this story is quite simply what it looks like to fulfill Christ's law by bearing the burdens of another. And so now let's jump into the story. We're going to stop along the way because all along the way there are very important moments that we need to discuss together. Here's how Jesus' story starts in verse 30. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. The story opens with a character who's having a very hard time. While traveling on a notoriously dangerous road, he's encountered by a force that's against him and stronger than he is. And these robbers, they tear his clothes off and strip away his dignity. They put him in a position where the only feeling can be shame. They take his things, and then they beat him roughly. And now, after beating him and pummeling him, they leave him all alone in this difficult place, in this challenging moment. And as they walk away, he's already half dead. He's already halfway to the place he's going to be unless someone comes and helps him. This man is a burdened man. Now, before we go back to the story, I want you to know that I believe in this moment, Jesus is poetically picturing every man and every woman. All of us are burdened. Some people wear their burdens right out in the open, and they're as obvious to everyone who sees them as this man's burdens would be to everyone who saw him, naked, beaten. Do you know someone like that? They're constantly having a hard time. Yes? All right. On the other hand, there are some people who seem to be doing really well. I would wager that there isn't a single person who seems to be doing great who hasn't just learned to bury the burdens that they bear by pushing them down and covering it up. Maybe some of you know individuals who expend an enormous amount of energy hiding how hard life is for them. Do you know somebody like that? Maybe you are that person. Whether it's obvious or not, every person, like this man on the road, is a person who bears heavy burdens. Here are some of them. There are folks who are carrying the heavy burden of loneliness. There are some who carry the heavy weight of guilt and shame for something that they know they've done in the past, and they're working really hard to hide from others. For some, it's anxiety about the future. It's worry about what's coming next, and that burdens them like a heavy weight. Or others, it's regrets about the past or loss from the past, loss of family or friends or dreams or hopes, things just not turning out as they wished. Sometimes it's the complexity of life that's way too much. Sometimes it's the mundane and drudging task that you have to go to every day for your work, and that's your burden. Everybody's burdened. And this man just shows what everybody bears, and this is how the story that Jesus tells opens. It opens with a picture of how everyone's burdened. Now, I want you to pause for just a moment before we look at the next development in the story, and I want you to identify, what is it in you that you carry these days? I don't want you to share it out loud, but I want you to get that in your mind. The story develops with the introduction of three more characters. Let's take a look together. Verse 31. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. I want to stop there and take a quick look at each one of these. The Levite and the priest both do the same thing when they get near the man with the burden, and that is they get away from him. They go by on the other side. They put as much distance as they can between that burdened and difficult person and themselves. And the truth is they have reasons which in their mind are certainly good. These are holy men, the priest and the Levite. They've come from Jerusalem where they've been serving at the temple, and they're going back to the place where they most likely live, which is in Jericho. And if they touch a man who's dead or about to die, they have to go back and for a whole week undergo the rites of purification. It would be like at the end of a long work week being called right back into the office for something that's quite bad. Maybe they knew someone else will come and help them. Maybe they just were so spent and tired they knew they didn't have the energy. But for whatever reason, they, when they saw the burden of this other, they got away and were on the other side. And here we see the difference between these two, the first difference, and the third traveler. Do you see what it is? It's very simple, but I pause here because it shows us the first aspect of being a burden bearer. Note takers, one, and you practice this, okay, doing what is shown in this story, and you will fulfill the law of Christ. What this world needs is people who fulfill the law of Christ. What we need individually is for the people around us to fulfill Jesus Christ's law, because when we fulfill that, all is well. And here's the first thing. The burden bearer goes toward need in the other rather than away from it. And that's simple, but it's very important. The person who determines to be a part of bearing the burden of the other is the woman who, after church, when she sees her friend and knows she's having a terrible time, does not pretend she's not seen how sad she looks. The burden bearer is the man who, when he's with his friend and sees his head hung low, he does not ignore the fact that that fellow must be having a really hard time. She is the one who comes and says, "How are you doing?" And when the words say, "I'm fine," but everything else about that person says, "I'm terrible. I don't know how to ask for help. I'm at the end of my rope and I'm undone altogether." She does not take the "I'm fine" at its face value and instead digs her heels in and persists and says, "No, you look like you're not doing well. Can we spend time together? Can I come to your house? Can I listen to you? How can I be a part of what you're going through?" That's what she does. Anybody feeling a little bit like, I just can't do that? I ask because I have a close friend who has what she calls a neediness alarm inside of her. And when a needy person comes near, it goes off and she wants to scream and run away. Does anybody else have this? Now, are you awake? Do you know what I mean? Maybe you can rationalize and say, I just don't have room for that other person. I can't go near them because their need's going to suck me in and destroy me. I don't have what it takes to help them. I know I don't. I can't be anything good for them. And you can do all the work you want, and I guarantee you'll come up with excuses that seem really good to you to go on the other side of the road. But the burden bearer, first of all, is a person who does not run away from need but goes toward it. Now, there's a second element of burden bearing. There's going to be five if you're that kind of person, and if you're timing how long this is going to last, it's going to be five, all right? The second one is this. Look what happens next. After this fellow goes toward the need in the other, in the second half of verse 33 says, "And when he saw him, he was moved with pity." Do you know what it's like to be moved? To have something that's outside of you do something to the insides of you. You see a need in another person, and it starts to affect you on the inside. It twists you up. And I don't mean the kind of twisting you up that makes you want to run away. But have you ever had this encounter where you see the need there, and what you want is to go toward it rather than away? That something in your heart says, go over there and help that person. Go near them. Take them up in your arms. Don't push them away. Hold them close. Help. Help that person. Care for them. Give to them. That's what happened inside of this Samaritan when he saw the need in that other one. The English way it's rendered here is he was moved with pity. This is a very weak rendering of the Greek. The Greek is much more graphic. It says, in a way, his kidneys and his stomach were tied up in knots at the sight of the need in the other. When he saw that man lying there with his needs, it went right inside of him. When he saw the need that was there because of this man's injuries, it twisted him up and he was drawn to him. When he saw the fate that was before this man with its darker and darker moments down into death, he was moved with compassion and wanted to come over and do what he could. He was drawn to him, and this is the second aspect of burden bearers. You ready? Because he had a heart that was open. He refused to close his heart to this other one. Instead, the doors of his heart were flung wide open to the need in the other. They were so wide open that it meant that that need could come right inside of his heart. Even though it was over there on the road, it bridged the distance between them and right inside. Even though it had nothing to do with him in some sense, it had everything to do with him because he opened his heart. Even though it wasn't his injury, it became his as his heart was open. Even though he might have rationalized, it's not my responsibility, it affected him on the inside, and it did so because his heart was open. And to be a bearer of others' burdens means not only that you go toward them, but that you open your heart to them. Now, I know that those neediness alarms are going off in some of you, and I'm going to tell you why. There is a real risk here, and I don't want to cover that up. To get yourself involved in another person's burdens means a risk. The heart can be so wide open that now it's open to the pain that isn't yours, that is that other person's. The heart can be so opened that now the need in that other suddenly impinges upon you, and that can be dangerous. And you might say, as many do, as I myself have said, I'm sure the Levite and the priest probably said something like this, my heart right now is too full of my own burdens. How could I possibly help someone else? That makes sense, doesn't it? If I open my heart to another person, all that will happen is all of my mess will spill out all over them. Terrible counsel. No, listen now. This is a paradox. It's beautiful and it's profound. If you go on focusing on your own heart and the mess that's in there all the while, do you know what's going to happen? You will only ever sink deeper and deeper in your own misery. But if you, empowered by the love and support of Jesus Christ, and he never calls us to do something that he will not support us as we do it, if you will open your heart to someone else, take your eyes off of the burdens that are inside of you, and instead look at the burdens that are there, you will find that there is a secret source of strength that you had no idea was there for you. And it will fill you up so that you can be the burden bearer for another person. The way it works in Galatians is quite profound. That text of Paul's, remember it? Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. When you hear that, there is only one person in the whole world who is not a potential for you to have to bear their burdens. And you know who it is? You. You're the only person who, if you try to bear their burdens, you will not fulfill the law of Christ. Everyone else is a potential for you to reach out to and to bear their burdens. That's the second point, that the burden bearer has a heart that's open to the need of the other. This is so good. I love this stuff. Let's keep going. Verse 34, he went to him. This is what the Samaritan does when his heart's open. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. This is first century first aid. Okay? And what happens there is this man has been beaten up and he's got gashes and the blood has begun to clot. And in order to save this fellow, those blood clots are going to have to be removed, or otherwise the infection that's underneath is going to cause him to die for sure. And so this fellow gets on his knees and he pours oil on these wounds, and with his own hands he starts to massage them. And after the blood clots are broken up, he then takes his wine out and pours it on there to kill the bacteria that's no doubt in the infections. And here we see the third aspect of true burden bearing is that it means you get your hands dirty. If you have a priority and it is to keep your hands clean of other people's messes, I am not telling you this from my opinion. I think the way the scriptures picture what the Christian church is would say to you, you have to get over that before you can be a vital part of the community that Jesus intends. Because he wants people who are willing, first of all, to go toward need, second of all, to open their heart to need in others, and then thirdly, to get their hands dirty with other people's needs. I know there's people who are thinking, but my needs are private. And the other people over there, their needs are private too. Listen, in the Christian community of people called together by Jesus, one of the things that he breaks down is that barrier. You have to still be cautious and careful, and there's need for wisdom and the support of other people. But this idea that is so prominent in our country and has been developed over centuries, that the individual is the main thing, and there are strong lines around me and everybody else, is just, it ruins us. I know a man whose family is struggling through drug addiction. One of the parents is really, really beaten down with addiction. And the kids are thrown into a mess because of this. And then there's another family who, what they've been doing is going over to that family and saying, we are here to carry you. And it's messy. It's messy because now they're between these two adults. It's messy because now they have to pick the kids up early in the morning when it's not convenient. It's messy because they have to cook extra food. They have to take care of things that they could say, that's not my responsibility. And it is a mess, but their hands are right in there. And the reason their hands are in there is because they are living as the Christ community intended, putting their hands into someone else's mess to help. You know how ugly it is when someone gets involved in someone else's messes just to gossip? As ugly as that is, it's just that beautiful when someone gets involved in someone else's troubles to help them. And that is what the burden bearer is called to do, and that's what this fellow does. That's the third. Let's keep going. After opening his heart and moving toward him and getting his hands dirty, the second half of verse 35 tells us that then he put him on his own animal. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. Do we have any visitors or people who've been to Jerusalem? Traveled over there? None of us have. Jerusalem and Jericho are pretty far apart, and the road between them is extremely dangerous. It's dangerous partly because at night it's a well-known haunt of bandits, because if people are traveling on that road, they're very vulnerable because it's windy and dark. It's very steep. The altitude difference between Jerusalem and Jericho is huge. It's not an easy walk. It's also 17 miles from one to the next. So if you're going to go from Jerusalem to Jericho, you know what you want? A car. Yeah, that's awesome. If it's the first century and you're going from Jerusalem to Jericho, what do you want? Yeah, an animal to ride on, right? What, a camel? Maybe a donkey.
Cheetah.
He's fat. That's brilliant. I don't know if you heard that. That was cheetah. How long would it take a cheetah to get there at its top speed? I need someone to help me out here. 17 miles, 60 miles an hour. What? Nice. It was too easy to get her, right? 17 minutes. They didn't have cheetahs for traveling. They had animals, okay? And this Samaritan had what a traveler on that road wants, which is an animal to walk on, to sit on the back of. But you see what he does to this needy person? He doesn't just get his hands dirty. This is simple, but this is the fourth element of the burden bearer. He changes places with the man. He was on the back of an animal for this journey, the Samaritan. And when he got mixed up in this other man's need, he now had to walk and the other guy got to ride. And that was his conscious choice. He chose to switch places. And the burden bearer is someone who is willing to let the need of another person become their own. And in that process, lose the strength that they had before they got engaged in this process. That means that the burden bearer is someone who's comfortable, and they come close to someone who's totally uncomfortable. And when they come close enough and open their heart up, they're the ones who now become uncomfortable while the other one gets some ease. The burden bearer might be relatively free, and this other person is altogether bound up, but to go and to live as the community Jesus intended, this man comes and he lets himself be bound so that the other one can be freed. In a very simple fashion, we see this in the Samaritan. He changes places with this other man for his own good, and even though it costs him, and it will cost to walk that distance beside instead of sitting on the back of an animal. Now, I hope that you yourself are thinking, as you hear each one of these, how am I called to be a burden bearer, not for the person out there, but the people that I've been brought together with in this community? It's true that we're meant to be concerned about the burdens of the world, absolutely. But over and over again, the direction of Paul and Peter and John and Jesus is first of all to form the community that he's bringing together to be what he wants. Then they can go and do that out in the world. And if you can't be a burden bearer for the people in here, you won't be able to do it for anyone else, except in a really shallow and superficial way that will probably end up making it worse. And that brings us to the last point. Look what happens after he switches places with him. And this is the fifth aspect of burden bearing. The next day, it took him all day. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." He is committed to helping this other for the long haul. He's not just going to be inconvenienced for an hour to try to make himself feel good by helping someone else out. He's not trying to assuage his guilt by giving a little today so that tomorrow he doesn't have to worry anymore and he doesn't feel like an unfair or an unkind person because he passed that person by. 2 denarii is enough money to pay for 2 weeks at an inn. So he comes and sets this guy up for 2 full weeks. That's how long it's going to take him just to have his wounds heal. And now this fellow knows it might be more than that as time rolls along. And he says to the innkeeper, "Whatever else it costs, you tell me, and I'm coming back and I'm paying for it." The bearer of another's burdens is committed over the long haul to doing what is good and necessary to help that other person out of their mess. That's a pretty impressive picture, isn't it? If you were there that day and that lawyer stood up and said, "Hi, who is my neighbor after all?" and Jesus told that story, that would be pretty overwhelming, wouldn't it? And if you don't feel it just from looking at what that other one does, you should feel it from the other direction. Every one of you, just like that lawyer who asked that question, is the man beaten up on the side of the road. Some of us know it, and the only difference between those who know it and those who don't is that those who don't haven't yet come to see the truth that they also are beat up on the side of the road. And Jesus was not just telling a story about what this lawyer was supposed to do. He was telling that. He was not just telling a story about what you and I must do to fulfill the law of Christ by bearing others' burdens. He was doing that too. But more importantly, he was painting a self-portrait of himself. And he was telling that man who asked that question what he was going to do for him. Because that lawyer who asked that question in a smug way, we're told in Luke that he asked it because he wanted to justify himself. He was trying to trap Jesus and make himself feel good. Jesus was saying to that man, you are like a person who's been beaten and shamed and humiliated and taken, all your power has been taken away, and you are going to die unless someone helps you. And if you don't know this, I want you to understand this is actually the beginning of good news, that you also are that person. You also are a person, a man, a woman who has nothing but your needs. And then what Jesus says when he starts to paint the picture of the Samaritan is, let me show you who I am. When I see need, I don't run away from it, I move toward it. And that's what Jesus, the burden bearer, does. Up in heaven, he does not consider equality with God and the goodness that's up there something to be grasped, but instead he comes all the way down right to where the need is. He is a little baby born to a poor mother in a messy manger, and he comes right in. And then he says to us, your needs and your burdens that you carry that are a mess, I get my hands right on them. He comes over with an open heart. Jesus does not close his heart off from the needy person, but he opens it up. You read through the Gospels and you pay attention and you'll see him again and again opening his heart to the very people that everyone else closed their heart to. And he does that. And he does that so he can let them in and get messy himself. The way this is put in the Bible is astounding. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And that is a way of pointing to the very profound thing that Jesus does. As he comes to bear our burdens, he changes places with us. He exchanges his place with us. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. He who was rich became poor beyond all measure so that we could become rich. He stepped off the animal and he put us on it so that we could be walked. And then Jesus does not just do this all at once and then say, done, I'm through with you. Good luck for the rest of your life. No. He is praying even now as I speak in heaven in his risen form for you. He is saying to the innkeeper, whatever else it costs, I'll pay it. You keep this person and heal them, and I'll do whatever I can. I'll give it all. And he has. And he continues. He's in it for the long haul. He does not give up. And because he has done that for me, I can do it for someone else. And I want you to know that my life is altogether absurd if I don't do it for other people. And the same is for you. That Jesus has done this for you. And as long as you go on the other side, around the people here, you live an absurd life. It's not only a sad thing for the people who would have benefited from your care, but it's sad for you because you're stuck in that swirling misery of a heart turned in upon itself, and that is prison. And Jesus Christ has come to free us from that as we are his instruments of bearing the burdens of other people. And it is my great joy and pleasure to tell you that the community that Jesus Christ intends, what he wants the church to be, is a place where we bear each other's burdens, where we move toward need, where we have open hearts to one another, where we're willing to get our hands dirty to help, where we are even willing to exchange places and to be in it for the long haul. When that happens, Jesus Christ is glorified, and you know what we look like to other people? It's very easy. We look like Jesus. We can say all we want about him, but if we look like him as we bear each other's burdens, that is a powerful message in this world that so desperately needs to know who he is. Here's how the exchange ends. After telling this story and showing us and showing that fellow what a burden bearer looks like, Jesus cuts right to it. He asks the fellow a question, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the question, it drives right to the center of his heart, and it's very obvious. He was looking for a list of who he's supposed to care for, and instead Jesus showed him a picture of what a neighbor looks like, what it looks like when someone cares for another. And the answer, obviously, is the Samaritan. This is what it looks like. And that's what the fellow says. He said, the one who showed him mercy. That's the word that was there that said he was moved with compassion. His guts were open to that person. And then Jesus closes his little teaching moment with the greatest phrase, go and do likewise. And that's how I close tonight. Go and do. Let's pray. God, for this wonderful story. First of all, for the wonderful way it opens our eyes to see what you have done for each one of us, we thank you. May we no longer be people who cling to our burdens, but let you, the Good Shepherd, come to us and ask us to invite us to come and give you our burdens and let you take them away. And then may we also be prepared to put our hands on the burdens of others, just as you have taught us through your Apostle Paul, that when we bear the burdens of others, we are fulfilling your law. May your Holy Spirit be ever present in this community, challenging us to grow into this kind of community, where we take one another's burdens in our own hands as we relinquish our own burdens to you and to others. Give us the grace to do this in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen.